Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and this is It's All About Food. Thanks for joining me today. We're going to be talking about a number of things, and I have a special guest, Jill Ovnick. We're going to be talking about vegetarian diets, of course. And one of the things is about children. You know, right now, we're hearing more and more about how kids are getting more of the adult chronic diseases like diabetes, and obesity is increasing amongst children. And it's really not that unreasonable to imagine that it's happening, especially with some of the things our government are doing today. For example, the Food and Nutrition Board had a report in 2002, and their recommendation was to reduce degenerative diseases like heart disease and cancer. We can consume up to 35% of our calories as fat, 35% of our calories as protein, and up to 25% of our calories as added sugars. And in an article that's in our latest EarthSave newsletter, T. Colin Campbell and Caldwell Esselstyn talk about what you can eat to meet those nutrition guidelines. And, for example, for breakfast, you can have a cup of Fruit Loops, a cup of skim milk, a package of M&M milk chocolate candies, fiber and vitamin supplements. For lunch, grilled cheddar cheeseburger. Dinner, three slices of pepperoni pizza and a 16-ounce soda and a serving of Archway sugar cookies. That's not healthy, and that's what they're recommending for our nutrition guidelines. It's crazy. Okay, so I want to welcome our guest today, Jill Ovnick. Are you with us?
I am.
Oh,
hi, Karen.
Thanks. Thanks for joining me, and I'm sorry we had a little confusion earlier ago, but
All
going to be great. So I'm talking today about food. That's what I always talk about.
My favorite subject.
Mine too. So you have this great website, vegan-gal.com, and a great DVD that's really helpful to people. Tell me, how did you get started on the vegetarian path?
Well, I was about 170 pounds, so that's about 40 more than I am now, and had been on the diet roller coaster and was just feeling really, you know, sick and tired of being sick and tired of, you know, being on that roller coaster. And a friend came to stay with us who was older than I am, and she was very trim and had all this energy. And she was just kind of running all over while she was staying with us for a few days, and I was just really annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to know how she did that, and she took me to the bookstore. And for once, it wasn't about diet. It was about vegetarianism. It was about Fit for Life was one of the books I read. Billy Ray Boyd wrote a little book, The Vegetarian and You.
I think that was a
key book for me. And I made a mental switch at some point in reading this stuff. One was environmentally. I thought, I think I could care for the environment more than I had the willpower to just do this for health reasons. So the environment was a huge issue in all the ramifications that I was learning about with all the meat eating. And the other thing was, it was to stop thinking about my weight, and it was to start thinking about my health because I had two small children, and I who cared what I looked like to them? You know, for them, I needed to be there. So,
okay, that's a very subtle but interesting point, to shift your purpose or what you're going to concentrate on rather than always thinking about pounds and pounds and weight, and think about what you can do for your health.
And it has stayed my goal for these last 12 years is for my health, and just coincidentally the weight has come off and stayed off.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. You look great. At least, thanks. I haven't seen you in person, but on the DVD you do. So you've been doing it for 12 years?
Yes, and I didn't, I went vegetarian first for about 4 years and then was strict vegan for a long time, and progress, not perfection, is my motto. I'm not perfect, but I'm, as long as I keep the health goal in mind and I do okay. I'm very happy with this lifestyle. It's been and that's what I get so excited about, is just the food tastes so good. And when I'm teaching my classes, people are just shocked and amazed how good it is.
Well, you bring up another good point, and that is, you know, we all do the best we can, and none of us are perfect. And when you're moving to a plant-based diet, you shouldn't feel restricted or guilty if you go off the path. The point is to stay on as much as possible, but not beat yourself up if you do something that you shouldn't do. You should always enjoy everything that you're eating, whether it's good for you or not. You should enjoy it.
I agree so much, and to be loving towards ourselves. And one of the gals from How It All Began said in that cookbook, you know, there's no vegetarian police out there. And it kind of helped me, too, when I with some of the guilt of shame if I had a slip. And now if I do dabble in some of that stuff that I know is not good for me, my body usually does a pretty big revolt and will kind of give me some pretty strong signals, too, so that helps.
It's funny you quoted that thing about no vegetarian police, because I had some friends about a couple of decades ago. They used to call me the vegan police. And maybe I was a little more hardline back then. I'm a lot more easygoing now. But people also, when they see you eating the way you do and you stick to it, those that aren't doing it get a bit defensive.
Mm-hmm.
I find that from time to time. But maybe I did deserve that title. I don't know.
But I went through the same thing where I was a little more militant in the beginning, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. Well, sometimes it helps when you're making a change to really do it with a lot of passion, and that helps you stick to it. But anyway, let's talk about great food. So you're teaching classes.
I teach cooking classes for the Cancer Project, which is a non-for-profit organization out of Washington, D.C., and they've been around since 1992 with their non-for-profit status, and they do something really unique in that they bring this food for life, nutrition, education, and cooking class series to all different sorts of venues, hospitals. There's about 80 of us teaching in the United States. Mary Lou Henner was one of the instructors for a while, and when she was on The Apprentice, she was, you know, trying to raise money for Dr. Barnard or the Cancer Project.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fabulous organization, and I've just really been enjoying that
so
whole lot.
So you teach in hospitals?
Or
some of the program does?
Yes. I'm right now doing a series at the West Michigan Cancer Center. So a lot of the cancer hospitals welcome us. Wherever we can go. Sometimes our classes need to get paid for, so it sort of depends what the venue is and what the situation is.
I'm really happy to hear that, because hospitals are scary places, and no one should ever have to go there, because a lot of people, unfortunately, don't come out alive. And aside from all the infection and some poor practices that are going on, the food that they serve you is, it's just incredible. You know, I went through my cancer period, and I was always trying to get healthy food while I was in the hospital, and it would just floor me sometimes when they would be serving pork sausage to a cancer patient.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. So do they look for you, or do you go to them?
I go to them, and I've been lucky with this one cancer. The one cancer hospital in Kalamazoo. I think I've been at another hospital where it wasn't very welcoming. I was teaching to a group of dietitians, and they were pretty close-minded about the non-dairy. And you know, we don't follow along with those guidelines of the American Dietetic Association and what hospitals feed people. So it is good if we can get into those forward-thinking hospitals that are offering all sorts of extras to their patients. I think there's enough sick people going around that hospitals can ease off and allow those who are interested to pursue a plant-based diet. You know,
mm-hmm.
they get pretty scared as if we're going to put them out of business. But I think there's quite a few sick people yet to help.
Well, unfortunately, it has a lot to do with money.
Oh, yeah.
So it's interesting you mentioned the Cancer Project, because I just saw an email today about the five worst package lunchbox meals. They did,
uh-huh.
And the Cancer Project did an analysis, And so, I mean, and I want to talk about being a mom when feeding kids a little bit more, but here are some very popular convenient foods, Lunchables, maxed out cracker snacker stackers, Lunchables, maxed out combo turkey and cheddar, combo ham and cheddar, Lunchboxers pizza. There are all these different convenient lunch foods that a lot of kids like to have because the other kids have them and they all want to be the same, but they're just loaded with 1,600 milligrams of sodium.
You got to look for the real food in any of that stuff, don't you?
Is there any?
I mean, yeah, I know.
And then it's all,
I don't think so.
And then it's all packaged in plastic, which can leach in and add other goodies to the food.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
I've never bought that for my kids. They've never had a snack packed lunch thing from me.
Now, you have three kids?
But I do have three, yes.
How old are they now?
My boys are 15 and 13, and my daughter is 6.
Okay, so you started this about 12 years ago, so your youngest was about 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been well on your way since your daughter was born. So how has it been with them, and how do you feed them, and how do they like it?
Well, the boys, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom when I did this transition, and so when the kids would come home from school, I was ready to go with cut-up fruit and, you know, hummus, or they even like the sushi, you know, cucumber. We were near a Wild Oats, you know, Whole Foods bought that out, but they even made the brown rice sushi, and my boys would eat all that good stuff. And I think when children are hungry, I mean, that's a pretty key factor. I knew if I could get them right after school, my chances were really good, and then I'd make them a healthy meal, and I would... So I went through many years of doing a really good job, and and unfortunately, that's not the same way it is now so much. They are I'd since been divorced, and now, you know, trying to work and raise the three of them on my own, and just being a lot busier, and the boys being old enough to go get their own junk food down the road with some of their own money and all that, and so it's different. My daughter still eats better than the boys, I would say, and my dinners are pretty regimented, so I never cook. I cook vegan, and they're used to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, when I, to this day, it kind of cracks me up if I have like spaghetti and meatballs. Mom, is this a real meatball?
And they ask you still. Uh-huh.
Sometimes they ask me, I don't know why, because it probably tastes good, you know, it tastes good and they like it and they eat it, but I feel pretty good about my dinners and pretty good about our schedule, but I'm not doing the kind of job I wish I was, but, you know, we can only do what we can do.
Well, and, but, I mean, you're a great, whatever the situation is that we're in, we do the best we can, and
yeah.
I think you're a good model for a lot of other mothers that are need to work and have a busy schedule, but, you know, there are still things that they can do, even if families aren't completely vegetarian, when they're, I mean, we talk about just reducing your meat consumption by 20% and what a tremendous impact that can have on health and environment.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're presenting what you think is important to your kids, whether they get it now,
right,
they'll probably get it later.
I really believe in that. Example isn't the only thing. Example is everything. Or example isn't, yeah. and I always tell people, save yourself first. You know, a lot of the women in my classes are concerned about their husbands. And, you know, we all have to really ultimately take care of our own bodies. So, yeah, I'm setting that example for my kids, and I feel pretty good about that.
Well, that's such a good point. I don't know what made me think of this, but I think about... when we take a plane and they tell you that if the oxygen pressure drops, that thing's going to drop and you should put your mask on first before you put it on your children, because you're of no use if you can't take care of yourself and you can't breathe or something happens or whatever. But it's so true with everything. You need to take care of yourself first. You need to be a model, and they'll get it. It's hard with teenagers.
Yeah.
Because they're so influenced by everything that's going around them.
Yeah, there was a stage where they thought it was the coolest thing they were vegetarians. I mean, it was like, you know, but they were much, maybe 6 years old, seven, and they thought it was so cool. And, yeah, then it, things changed. But yes, I have all faith that my children will all come around to this lifestyle at some point.
Right. Well, even if they don't come completely, you know, they eat with you every day or close to it, I imagine, and you're putting some good, healthy food in them, which will make a difference in the long run. You're probably familiar with Dr. Joel Fuhrman's book, Disease Proof Your Child.
I haven't read that one, but I've read another one of his books.
Right, okay. Well, they're all pretty much the same, but Disease Proof Your Child focuses on how important it is for children to eat well and how it affects our lives as adults. And that so many diseases that we have in our older adult life came from our childhood. And a lot of people don't realize that, and there's more and more information about that coming out. And so the better you can feed your kids as children, the better off they're going to be as adults.
Definitely.
So when you teach, do you have some favorite recipes when you give cooking demos?
Yeah, I do classes on my own too, and I have some of them are posted on my website. They're really easy. I'm really, especially at this point in my life, interested in easy recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And through my newsletter, the last few times I've sent anything out recipe-wise, it's been three ingredient recipes.
Mm-hmm.
That's my latest.
I love that.
And I'm not too big into measuring either, so I think it's. But I love cookbooks. I have 500 cookbooks. But when I teach the Cancer Project cookbook classes, they have a wonderful cookbook. And I think the whole thing is downloadable on your, you know, off of their website.
I'll check that out.
Very generous with their recipes. And you can get a free recipe from them every Monday, too, by signing up at their website.
What's their website?
It's cancerproject.org.
Okay. Great. That sounds great.
Yeah. I think people love, like, the hummus, smoothies. We make a veggie curry, stir fries. The new book has garbanzo bean burgers. That's on my mind because I haven't made those yet.
That sounds good.
Everything is good. Everything is wonderful. I mean, I made a pumpkin pudding last week and a fruited applesauce with a little tofutti ice cream on top, and it was nice and warm and vanilla-y. And, they have a fabulous salad dressing recipe, and I'll just tell you because it's so easy, and I'm really into it right now. It's just 2 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, 2 tablespoons of seasoned rice vinegar, 1 tablespoon of ketchup. Of course, get the Muir Glen organic ketchup. It's so yummy. And I think 1 teaspoon of mustard, you know, like just Dijon.
Right.
And just whisk those up. And you just, if you have a nice quality balsamic that's very sweet, you know, it's so delicious. Oh, garlic. Got to have a little minced garlic in there.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds really
good. Oh, it's awesome. I mean, you just don't miss the oil. And,
and
that's another thing I really try to, I don't cook with oil at home. I don't cook with oil in my classes at all. I don't think it's necessary. You can saute with any number of things, like the vinegars, salsa, soy sauce, just even water, veggie broth, pineapple juice, orange juice. You know, you just need a little something liquid in the pan so that things don't stick.
Right.
But I'll often say, if you drink a glass of oil, I mean, that doesn't taste good.
Yeah, and at 120 calories a tablespoon, nobody needs it.
No, it's the most calorically dense thing we can eat, and it doesn't help our bodies in any way from what I've read and understood. So
we occasionally saute with tea.
Oh, neat.
And there are a few teas. I really love tea and the whole almost ceremony or process of sitting and having a nice pot and a nice cup. And I've tried a number of teas, and some of the ones that I don't really care for to drink, some of them have a smoky flavor and some of them have almost a chicken broth like feeling to them. And so rather than drink them, we saute with them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, one tastes like chicken broth. Can you remember the name?
Well, it was actually there are some green teas that are toasted. Sometimes okay. they have they all have strange names, and I can't think of them off my head, but I'll remember and I'll tell you offline. And then there's one, it's like this smoky Russian lapsang tea, and it gives a smoky flavor. So if you want to get that meaty, smoky flavor, sometimes that's a fun tea to cook with.
That's a great idea, and I really enjoy tea as well, especially in the winter, and with a little sweetener that helps sometimes curb the sweet tooth.
Oh. Okay. So, what else did I want to talk about with you? So, one of the things that I liked about your DVD was you're sitting in a restaurant and you want to show how it's easy to order in a restaurant and how many options there are. And so you ordered like 20 different things. And I mean, clearly, I don't think you were going to eat all of those that day. And there's always this thing in the back of my mind, like, oh, my God, all this food is wasted. You're going to have all these different things to go.
Oh, it all got eaten, I'm sure.
I'm sure it did. But, you know, people, when you first start to talk to them about this diet, they feel like they're going to be deprived, that it's so limiting, and all the only thing I've experienced is that it's opened the world of food.
I agree 100%.
There's so much more variety in the food that I eat than in the foods that other people eat. Well, the other people,
I so agree. And I remember feeling so sick and tired of what I was going to do with chicken again. Just feeling really creatively, you know, stumped in the kitchen. And I completely agree with you that in the last 12 years, I mean, the whole world of food has opened up. And it's just the beauty and the variety, and it's the seasonings and it's the combinations. And also, I think your taste buds change a little bit. And I think those natural foods start just to have an appeal that maybe they didn't when we were younger, took them for granted, or I don't know, but...
Well, if you're going to make your own food, or at least eat food that isn't highly processed, you're not going to be getting a lot of fat, and you're not going to be getting a lot of salt, and both of those things really numb your taste buds.
Right.
So when you back off on that, and your taste buds get to recalibrate almost, all of a sudden, all these foods have flavor.
Right. And people go through that sort of withdrawal, just like with any addiction. If you are really trying to get off of processed foods, it is like affecting your body like a drug. And so foods really can taste really bland for a while, you know, until you go for a few weeks without them.
Mm-hmm. And then so there are lots of things that you can do to make things not so bland when you're transitioning or even afterwards. I like using lemon juice a lot. Mm-hmm. And then some of the vegetables actually have a lot of sodium in them. I don't know why they put so much salt in tomato juice, because tomatoes are loaded with sodium.
And celery, too.
And celery. Sometimes, I mean, I am so salt sensitive now, and if I have a dish that has a lot of celery in it, it really tastes salty to me.
Mm-hmm.
But celery is a great food because it gives you a lot of minerals and electrolytes.
Yep, there's so many fabulous recipes. It's very exciting. I'm doing a retreat weekend this weekend. This will be my third one, and I'll probably have 10 different dishes of every meal.
So tell me about that. Where is that going to be?
Right by the beach here in Michigan, in southwest Michigan, on the Big Lake, Michigan, is South Haven. It's a lovely town. And we have rented this gorgeous 7-bedroom, 5-bath home and then another house down the street. And we will do exercise and yoga, and I have some speakers coming out. One gal who is a registered dietitian, and she's going through culinary school right now, and she's went vegan and lost 85 pounds. She's coming to talk to the group. So it's really fun, and it's all about the food to me.
Right.
I have to No one leaves my retreat not having a complete understanding that this is no deprivation here. This is abundantly wonderful.
I love that idea. I love that idea because so many people, they say, well, how do you do it and what do you eat? And the best way to do it is to show them.
Exactly.
And show them in a lovely space. I hope you have great weather.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Even if we don't. I have a lot of programming for them, so...
So can I ask what you're going to be preparing, or is that a secret?
Oh, no, I'll tell you. I've got I put almost a cookbook together for everybody coming, too. Let me see if I have... Okay, Friday night we have a Southwest sweet potato bisque, tofu walnut balls and barbecue sauce, a vegan taco salad, chipotle potato salad, coleslaw with pineapple and coconut, and banana dream pies, and then hummus, smoothies, and easy bean salad. Do you want to hear more?
Yes. Are you making these all yourself?
I have a chef friend who's helping me a little bit, but mostly I am taking the load.
Wow.
I'm doing French toast Saturday morning with a berry applesauce, oven potatoes, 7-grain cereal in the crock pot with fresh fruit, English muffins a la mode, and banana pudding.
What are they a la mode with?
This is a recipe now that, I mean, it's just super simple, and I just wanted to show them something, so I'm going to sort of demo that. But if you get some nice whole wheat English muffins, maybe the cinnamon raisin kind, toast them a little bit, and put a little bit of applesauce and some thinly sliced apples and some walnuts and a little cinnamon sugar.
Mm.
It's a really nice breakfast for the kids, you know,
right.
Or even grown-ups on the run.
That's a great idea. It's almost like a little apple pie.
Yeah, it's really quick and easy. I had it at a restaurant, and it was kind of more, a little more sugary, fatty, but this was my little lighter version. Saturday lunch, we're having a spinach salad with my grandma's secret salad dressing that used to be full of oil, and I'd taken out all the oil. Zesty pumpkin soup, cassoulet with millet crust and white beans, quinoa with green beans and ginger soy sauce, Oak Street tempeh mango chutney salad, and these brownie squares, these fudgy brownies that should have won some sort of prize. They are just phenomenal.
To live for, right? Chocolate to live for.
Oh, my gosh, yes. They're made with black beans.
Oh, wow.
And no one would ever know. And the frosting, someone's at my door. The frosting is, it's like a secret. I don't want to tell you. It's so, it's not my recipe, so I probably... thank you. And then Sunday, someone just came to my door. Sorry, Karen.
That's okay.
Sunday I have a Planet Hollywood Chinese salad, potato salad with dill, kale crisps. I don't know if you've ever done those in the oven.
No.
Have you taken kale and you just put a little vinegar and throw them in the oven, maybe a little bit of oil just to get the vinegar and some seasoning sticking in. Stick them in the oven and bake them until they become crisp like a chip, and they are so delicious.
Wow. That sounds really good. Okay,
so
I just wanted to take, just say for a minute that we're with Jill Ovnik, and she has a great website, vegan-gal.com. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, vegangal.com.
Right, but there's a dash in it, right? Isn't there?
If you Google it, it'll come up either way.
Oh, okay, so you can Google vegangal.com. Okay.
Or if you Google Jill Ovnik, O-V-N-I-K.
And I welcome questions at 888-873-4643. This is prncom.net. And you can also email me at any time with questions at info@earthsave.org. Okay, so you lost a lot of weight on this diet, which really isn't a diet, it's a lifestyle. Were there foods that you weren't eating before or wanted to eat that you can eat now?
Can't think of anything.
Okay, I'm just curious. I mean, I know someone who loves peanut butter, and he never would eat it before because he thought it was fattening, and now he doesn't mind eating peanut butter anymore.
Oh, well, I would say that I'm never conscious of maybe like the avocados or nuts or the peanut butter or that kind of thing. I just maybe I'm fortunate, and probably because I don't cook with oil and I don't splurge that much with fats in general, I don't really count anything, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. But that's part of it, that you don't have to count and you don't have to worry. Because when you eat this way, most of the foods are high fiber, they're filled with water, you can eat a lot of them and makes you feel full, and you're not getting a lot of calories.
Exactly.
And that's why it works.
Yeah, it's a very simple way to live. You just, get into your routine of what tastes good or what you like, and you keep building on your recipes, and that's what I really try to help people do. There's so many great websites out there for free recipes.
Right.
NutritionMD.org is a wonderful website. They print you out a shopping list.
Huh. NutritionMD?
NutritionMD.org.
Okay, great. Yeah, there are a lot of websites. I'm overwhelmed. And that's really encouraging because we're not just a few lonely people out there. It's a growing movement. And more people want to eat healthfully. Do you plan on doing another DVD?
Not at the moment. I've been more thinking of a cookbook.
Oh,
but,
that would be great.
But I guess I haven't really thought too much about how to market that at the moment. So,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of people have asked me about a cookbook, and I'm probably in front of enough people that would, be interested here or there. There's so many good cookbooks out there, but I think mine would really focus on the easy kind of things. So it probably there would be a market. Easy, easy, easy.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Outside of your immediate family, how has the rest of your family been with your lifestyle change?
I don't know if I talked about that in the video, but it has been difficult over the years with my mother and my mother-in-law, who's now since passed away. It was a tough thing for us to go through, because I think both of these women and women in general associate food with love and cooking with love. That's one of the ways we
absolutely
give and
mm-hmm.
And so they felt rejected by me, and I understood that, and I tried to handle it as gently as I could, all the while feeling all that passion and excitement over, hey, this could save your life. It could, save the environment. There's just so many great reasons to look at changing your lifestyle. But, over the years, everyone's mellowed out. And
that's good.
Yeah.
Well, food is so important in everything that we do. The title of the show is It's All About Food, because everything we do is related to food, whether we realize it or not, in our relationships and with our families. And holidays and occasions are always centered around food. And so it can be challenging.
Right. I also feel that there's such an emotional component with your diet. I mean, that's just research and factual, but one of the other one thing I get very excited about is Dr. Anthony Ademus did some work with youth offenders, so they were kind of in a prison environment, and she came in with a Whole Foods cooking class, and transformation in the journal of one of these young men that she read the journal entries. I think his name was Willie, and I actually read the journal entries after a while because I got a copy of it. And in the beginning, he thought he was going to just die on this kind of new diet of, mm-hmm. Healthy foods. And slowly, he was talking about, hey, my grades are getting better, and I did really great at basketball today. And he started doing so much better and feeling so much better, and I was just amazed at his writing, how it had changed, and he talked about feeling calmer, and wouldn't it be great if we had a society that felt calmer?
Did he say that?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I remember hearing about that some time ago, and I forgot about it. But it's really hard to know what's actually going on. Is it just by eating healthier foods and you feel better physically? Certainly when people consume some of the wrong things, they have a higher rate of depression, and so it could be a portion of that. And then there are other theories that when we're consuming animals, especially animals that have not been treated very well, we're consuming all of their fear and their suffering and their pain, and we feel it to some degree.
Right.
And violence. And I don't know that we'll ever have those answers, but there certainly has been a lot of information that points to the vegetarian diet as being a peaceful diet.
It's changed me. I just attribute a lot of my spiritual growth towards, you know, getting rid of the dead animals, to be quite frank.
Right. Well, when you open that door and realize that you don't have to kill to live, I think if not consciously, subconsciously, that has to have an impact.
Absolutely. And I think that as children, most of us really don't have that instinct towards, you know, killing and eating animals. We read the little fairy tale books and farm, you know, and pet the animals,
right,
and look into their eyes, and and then this thing is presented on our plate, and we don't make the association. And I think that Harvey Diamond said this funny quote about, you know, if you put a toddler in a crib with an apple and a bunny, and he plays with the apple and eats the bunny, I'll buy you a car. No, it's true. It's our instincts of, as children, we'd probably all not go in that direction. It's just the culture we live in. If we lived on an island and we ate bugs, we'd be used to eating bugs, and we live, you know, in a culture where we're kind of raised with meat. So to get out of that mentality takes a little backtracking and a little, I think, de-brainwashing sometimes.
Right. So has there been a lot of talk over where you are about the swine flu? Which is now, they're not calling the swine flu anymore.
Oh, they're not?
Well, it's because apparently some of the pork producers and others don't want it. It's not entirely proven that it's linked to the pork farms, and so they don't want to affect their sales.
Sure.
But
no, we don't have any cases close by that I'm aware of, and I'm kind of out of the loop news-wise, too.
Mm-hmm. That's good for you. I support that.
Yeah. Really?
I absolutely do. I believe it's a personal thing, but I think when we surround ourselves with a lot of positive activity, we only create more positive activity. And when we listen and read and focus on a lot of violent negative activity, it only creates more. It has to do with that law of attraction thing that people talk about.
So
I think it's healthy. Not to be unconcerned, because, you know, we all want to do our part, and I think you're certainly doing a great part with all the things that you're doing, helping people move to a healthier place and feel better about themselves. So, kudos to you.
Thanks.
And we all need to do our own part. We can't change anyone. People can only change themselves. We can't control people. We can't change all the horrible things that are going on in the world. But we can make a better place in our own lives and with our families and in our communities.
Mm-hmm. Let you be the change you wish to see in the world. I love that quote.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And I think Dr. Weil, he talked about one of the books I read, Spontaneous Healing, he mentioned that the news was counterproductive sometimes. So he kind of gave me an okay way back when to not really buy into the evening news every night and all that stuff. So I agree. I don't need the negativity, and it's just too negative.
Mm-hmm. Well, it all kind of ties into everything. I want to say it's all about food, and it ties into food, and somehow I'm going to try to get what I want to say to food. But in the news, for example, they try and drum up a lot of fear. And even the swine flu, for example, is it really something we want to be concerned about or not? It probably is, but the point is all this fear is frequently drummed up, and that creates a lot of stress, and people that are especially not living on a healthy, immune-boosting, health-promoting diet are going to be affected a lot more by stress, and then they're going to need all the drugs that you hear about on the commercials to manage their blood pressure and all of these other things. So one thing is linked to another, and I sometimes wonder if they're drumming up fear not just to have control, but also to keep us not well. So that
an
we
interesting
take more drugs.
Philosophical point.
Anyway, so it's all connected, and I think it's fine that you don't watch the news or are not plugged into the news all the time.
Yes, thank you.
You're very
you
welcome.
Too.
So when you're teaching these classes, are there some questions that people tend to ask more than others?
A lot of them ask the same sort of questions.
Where do
about
you get
protein.
Your protein?
soy is one of the big questions right now.
Another thing that people are given a lot of fear about.
Yeah, people are really questioning soy and it's is it okay if they have the breast cancer positive receptor?
What do you tell them?
I read usually what the Cancer Project has a little blurb in the back of their book about.
Okay.
It's basically boils down to the latest research is showing that a couple servings a day is fine and is showed to be helpful and all across the board, even with that certain kind of breast cancer.
Right, a couple of servings of the simple soys.
Correct, right. And I do, we talk about that. The more processed soys are certainly something that you want to limit.
Right, so those simple soys are soy milk, tofu, tempeh, edamame, miso.
Correct.
Did I leave anything else out?
I don't think so.
Yeah, those are all good foods. And then the other soy food, there's so many things you can do with soy. I don't quite understand it, but it's such an amazing food. And so then there are the other ones that aren't so healthy, but they might help people transition. Or on a holiday, for example, when you're used to traditional foods like July 4th and you want a hot dog, some of those meat analogs that are made with highly processed soy and soy protein isolates, I don't think it's so terrible if you have them occasionally.
Right.
Especially
better than the real thing.
It is better than the real thing. Absolutely
yeah.
is.
And my little girl just came home from school. Let's see if I could get her something to eat here.
Okay. So does she eat what you want her to eat? Do you have any challenges with her?
Yesterday I gave her the choice of an apple or an orange.
Mm-hmm.
I think she chose the orange. So she's good. She's a good eater. But she gets candy from the brothers and grandma. And so some of that, I just got to do what I can, the best you can.
Right. Well, I guess you want to go and take care of her now.
It's okay if you have a few more minutes.
I'd love to. I'd love to hear more about how to feed six-year-olds.
How to feed six-year-olds.
Does she have some favorite foods?
She loves hummus. We love, almost always have hummus in the house, and that's been like a staple for, years.
We love hummus.
Yeah, and starting to make my own much more in the last few years. And then we always have salsa, and we usually have those baked tortilla chips. And that's just a wonderful creamy, combination with the salsa and the hummus or the rice chips. So that's one of the good healthy things that we have around here. I don't know. Peanut butter and jelly. What else do we like for healthy snacks, Jolie?
Oranges.
Oh, yeah.
Fruit. Oranges, apples.
Oh, good.
Pineapples. Yeah. You know what? She's still, I don't know what it is, but I think if you get them when they're young, they still really do eat a lot of what you put in front of them.
Right.
And she definitely does eat more. You know, she loves beans. And one of my favorite things for a snack is, I don't know if you've seen this on my newsletter, but if you just open up a can of garbanzo beans and drain them and rinse them and then put a juice of lime over that, and if you have some cilantro, otherwise you don't need to, but some cumin, some nice, wonderful cumin and that lime juice and a little cilantro too, but it's so good.
I am so hungry, and talking about all these foods is really just driving me crazy. But that I love the combination of lime juice and cilantro. It is,
yeah.
Oh, it is so good on salad or on anything. It's just
yep.
incredible.
Mm. Yeah, I sort of don't get the whole not liking cilantro thing, but I know some people don't. So I try to.
Somebody told
me
recently it was genetic, that there's a gene for not liking cilantro.
Really?
Yes, I haven't read it, but I heard it.
Oh, my goodness.
I will have to look into that. And so, you know, if you are one of those people, there are lots of other things out there. But
yeah.
I'm sorry, if those who don't enjoy cilantro, because, wow. I have a terrace at my apartment in New York, and I always try and grow things during the spring and summer just because I think there's something in us that really thrives on growing food. And so I grow whatever I can. And this year I didn't plant anything, and all of this stuff is coming up on its own. So I have fresh cilantro and dill.
Oh, wonderful.
And something, I'm not quite sure what it is just yet. It looks like a squash, but it might be a melon. Because I compost as well, and then some of the seeds from the compost just start growing in my planters.
That is awesome.
It's really fun. But there's nothing like fresh herbs on anything.
They make it all taste good.
So do you let your daughter eat whatever she wants when she's at a party or at an event with other kids?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. I just ate so much junk when I was growing up, and I guess I feel like, well, I made the decision on my own. I don't know. I think she'll... Yeah, I guess I'm just not going to go down that road of being...
But that's okay.
I've never been a super strict mom in any way, I guess, either.
But that's okay. But I think the point is that in the last 20 years, we've really gone overboard where the foods that used to be considered special foods for special occasions are now everyday foods. When I was a kid, soda was something we had at a party. It
right.
was a special event. Now kids have it at breakfast.
Right.
And so, you know, it's okay if we save those treats for special occasions, and it'll make a special occasion even more special.
Yeah.
But having them every day, it's killing us.
Yes,
so
it is.
It's okay.
It is really staggering, too, to just when I read about, you know, what's in it. It's that always just, I don't know, it doesn't stick with me all the time, but I'll reread something and about soda. Like, oh, my gosh, it's so bad.
Yeah, well, it's bad on many levels. We were just at a food festival in Brooklyn this past weekend, which was really a lot of fun. It wasn't a vegetarian food festival, and so I was there waving my plant-based food flag. But there was somebody there. There was some organization about Killer Coke and talking not only about how it's unhealthy, but... all the bad things that the corporation does in third world countries in terms of how they treat their people, and how a lot of people who have limited budgets, especially in the third world, tend to spend some of their needed food money on Coke instead of things that have nutrients.
Wow.
It's a sad story there.
It is very sad, and it's sad that we have to pay you know, so much for a fresh raspberries, for example, you know.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, and I lived in the suburbs, before they overdeveloped the area, there were fresh raspberries and blackberries that grew wild. And there was nothing like just roaming around and casually eating a few raspberries as I romped around in the woods. Such an idyllic memory and setting. But now for raspberries, I usually get them frozen. They're cheaper that way.
Can I ask you some questions?
Sure.
I was so curious about when you got cancer and just how that all, you know, I'm sure maybe your viewers have heard it before.
Well, I plan on doing a whole show on it. I'm not quite sure when I'm going to do it, but sometime soon. And certainly it was shocking because I was on a health path most of my life. At 15, I decided I didn't want to eat animals. And then when I was 30, I became vegan. And then in my mid-40s, I was raw for a couple of years. And I was a big fan of Dr. Furman and eating green and doing whatever I could and exercising. And so it was really surprising. And I don't know that I'll ever know, but I have two theories, and one is I worked as a chemical engineer for 20 years, so I was surrounded by a lot of toxic things. And I also used a lot of tampons as a teenager, which have dioxin in them, and they don't get enough press about how dangerous they could be. And I and there are different ways to use them that I have learned about since I've stopped using them, and I did all the wrong things. So I think that that had something to do with it. And then, you know, as I mentioned before, the idea that there are things that happen to us as children that affect us in later life. I certainly ate a lot of dairy until I was 30, and that's connected, correlates very highly with breast and ovarian and prostate cancers. And and also, there might be something genetic that was in my grandmother or my mother that passed on to me. You know, I'll never know. But I believe in two real key things that are really essential for a long quality life, and that is a healthy diet, which includes lots of greens, and I green juice religiously every day, at least 16-ounce green juice of a variety of different vegetables. I've lightened up a little bit on all green. I've moved over to adding a few carrots and beets to sweeten it up a little. But when I was being treated, I was really vigorous into bitter green all the way. And meditation. And at some point, I'm going to do a program on that, too, because it's really important to be clear about what you want and be clear to your cells, all 50, 100 trillion cells that are living in your body. You're the empire of your universe, and what you say goes, but you have to make it really clear what you want. And that only happens through meditation.
Wow.
So I've learned a lot. I'll write a book, and I'll do a show on it, and I thank you for asking. But sometimes I think I got it to learn what I learned so that I could tell other people about it.
Well, sure. Yeah. There's always lessons, you know, to be found in everything.
Absolutely. But I don't like some of the terminology that they use for cancer patients. I don't like to consider myself a cancer survivor. I think it was an experience I had and a challenge, and we all have challenges of so many kinds, and you get through it and you live. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Okay, so I really thank you for talking to me today. This is Jill Ovnik from vegangal.com. And I'm Karen Hartglass, and this has been It's All About Food. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Okay, bye. Mm-hmm.